they call you.
Hello, and welcome to Between the Borderlands, a liminal space for second thoughts and second chances. My name's Spencer, aka Free Thrall, and in this episode, I'm just going to be responding to some Movie Monday feedback.
Hey, Spencer, just listen to your latest episode. When you're doing the calls, reference a Dragon Slayer episode. And I touched on this on my blog, but the novelization for Dragon Slayer does say that there is something about virgins, young female virgins. The dragons are drawn to that, and that's the nourishment that they want. And it doesn't really explain nutritionally or, you know, why that is, other than to say that is what the dragon is looking for. From it's got the dragon's thoughts in the novel, and we've kind of get the dragon's backstory and whatnot and history, and it's just that's what dragons eat in that world. So, yeah, you know, at least according to the novelization, and the king did figure that out, so that's why the lottery came out like it did. Anyhow, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Connolly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast there. And you know what? I've never really thought about the nutritional value of consuming virgins. I wonder if they'll cover that in Delicious in Dungeon. And as a side note, friend of the show, Merc the Meek, has started a podcast reviewing episodes of Delicious in Dungeon. The podcast is called Euphonious in Dungeon, and it will feature listeners sharing their thoughts on each episode. I think he's doing an episode per month, so this is going to be quite a long-running thing, I think. Anyway, back to the virgins. Thank you for your call, Jason, because it got me, you know, thinking about the term sacrifice. Contrary to what I previously suggested, that virgins might be chosen for sacrifice because they were easy pickings. What you want to be sacrificing to a deity or demon or whatever is most valuable to you. And, well, in a patriarchal society, what could be more valuable than a young girl before she's married off? To put it in somewhat unpleasant terms, I recall reading in Japan, there was the practice of burying a live maiden in the foundations of a building for good luck or to ward off demons. Whatever the reason, certainly a horrific thought. But thank you for that message, Jason, and sending me down that particular rabbit hole. Next up, I've got a few responses to the Movie Monday Excalibur episode that I'd like to address.
Yo, Spencer, just finishing up the Excalibur episode. Well, I haven't listened to the Boromir banter yet, but I finished listening to all the calls about the movie, and again, amazing. Everybody does such a good job. I love that I'm the one who brings the class level down. I feel good about that, man. Okay, so my mind is 1,000,000,000% blown when Jason said that Monty Python Holy Grail came out like 5 years or so before this movie. I was like, what do you mean? How was Monty Python not a parody of Excalibur? I mean, it was a pre-parody. It's like Merlin, who experiences time backwards, wrote Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Because like I said in my call, I was just watching. I was like, oh, here's the part where it's, help, help, come see the violence inherent in the system. I was like, oh, there's that part. There's the watery tart part. Like, my mind is friggin' blown. That's amazing. That just shows how genius Monty Python and the Holy Grail is. That should probably go on the list. That should probably go on the list of movies we watch. Because I had no idea. I really had no idea. I don't pay attention to, like, release dates and stuff, or actors. You can tell from my calls. It's like, oh, this person is awesome. It's like, Helen Mirren. Patrick Stewart. I was like, oh yeah, that's why the acting was pretty good, huh? Anyway, Lex, another amazing call. Lex Mandrake, hardest name in the industry. The Umber Bulk is, I will second and third that name. I love the Umber Bulk. I think it's a great name. Carl with his awesome tidbits. Jason with his awesome tidbits. Everybody with their calls. Man. And Safer. We got to hear from Safer. And as you pointed out, Spencer, we do not get to hear enough from Safer anymore. So Safer, please never limit the length of your calls. We love hearing from you for sure. Anyway, everybody, awesome stuff. I'm excited to watch Dark Crystal. It's been a minute since I've seen that. I never watched Age of Resistance, so maybe I'll watch that too. I don't know. We will see what's available where. And yeah, man. So again, thank you, Spencer, for keeping this going. Thank you, Jason, for starting it. Thank you, Henchman, for coming up with the idea. And thank you, everybody, for all your calls. It was an awesome episode. Take it easy. Peace out.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Richter of Hindsightless there with a wonderful message. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I thought that Excalibur Movie Monday episode was fantastic. And I say that because of the sheer quality of the calls. I really enjoyed putting that together. It's been a real pleasure to take over Movie Monday. Yeah, Monty Python and the Holy Grail from 1975. I didn't even twig from your message that you thought that it was a parody of Excalibur. Obviously, they're using the same sources to make those films, and therefore, you know, you see the parallels. And there are some particular scenes in Excalibur that made me wonder if they'd been influenced at all by the Monty Python movie. And yeah, it probably should be on the list for Movie Monday. However, you know, I'm hoping to focus on films of the 80s here. Monty Python and the Holy Grail was 1975, so I'm not sure I'll get round to it in this year's run. I'm sure nobody will be against adding that to the list. Thank you very much for that message, Joe. I'm really pleased you enjoyed the episode.
Hey, Spencer, Jason here. Really enjoyed the Excalibur episode. Great, great calls. I loved Lex's comments on magic items. The movie with the three-bladed sword that the Southside Surfer crew couldn't remember, of course, is The Sword and the Sorcerer. And that movie probably should be covered on Movie Monday at some point. Jason Hobbs joined me to talk about it last year on my show during my year of pun, where we covered all the Albert, not all though, we covered a number of Albert Pun movies, or Pune, I'm sorry, the year of Pune. But yeah, great, great movie. But to answer Joe's question, it is not an example of a reroll. You're wrong, Joe, an example of a DM railroad. So you see, the Dungeon Master wanted this NPC, Lancelot, to join with the player party, but the player running King Arthur just wouldn't take the hint. So the DM had to take narrative control to ensure Lancelot was able to join the party. So this is an example of a Dungeon Master railroading the players into the story they want and telling the story they want. You know, we could talk a whole lot more about a whole lot of different aspects of this movie. One thing, of course, with Helen Mirren and Nicole Williamson, they really, really disliked each other. And they had a really bad production of Macbeth prior to this, and they did not want to work together at all, which Borman, of course, was smart enough to say, I'm going to harness that for my film. And, you know, little things, you know, one scene I don't think anybody mentioned that I really love is they built the round table, they've conquered the land, they're sitting there, Arthur asks Merlin, you know, we vanquished evil, and Merlin says, evil's always where you don't expect it, and the camera goes right to Morgana. Great, great stuff. Just wonderful movie. Thank you for covering it. I can't wait to talk about The Dark Crystal. You know, I think Lex talked about John Borman movies, and Borman has such an interesting career. I just recently watched Tiger's Tale, I think, from 2006. Really interesting movie. Interesting take on the doppelganger thing. So if you haven't seen that movie, I do highly recommend it. It's not time wasted. We have Brendan Gleeson in there. We have Kim Cattrall with a pretty bad Irish accent that goes in and out. But any movie with Gleason's worth watching, right? And the Tiger's Tail is a really interesting variant of the doppelganger thing. So I do highly recommend it. Because of the way it handles the end of that movie, I really think it's interesting. It's a nice, well, I won't say anymore, but it's a really interesting movie. Anyway, Borman has a great career, really interesting career, lots of interesting movies. And notice I didn't talk about Borman's script for The Lord of the Rings during my call for Excalibur. But I will say I'm very sad that Borman's Lord of the Rings wasn't made, because there are amazing things in there. And yeah, go find that script online, people. Read Borman's script for Lord of the Rings. It's the best movie never made. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Jason. The Sword and the Sorcerer. Yeah, I was trying to think of where that three-bladed sword comes from. And it was one of the films I was considering. And I was thinking, well, no, actually, Jason's already covered that with the episode he did with Hobbs. But that doesn't necessarily mean that people went and checked out the movie. So, yeah, I may have to squeeze that one in if I'm going to do a thorough run through of 80s fantasy. Yeah, so the breaking of Excalibur and the resurrection of Lancelot, re-roll or railroad, I'm going to say it's neither. I really like Lex's take on this as an opportunity for further adventure. If events could be undone, if certain items were acquired or certain magic was found, perhaps, or you could even have the opportunity to resurrect a party member by tracking down and destroying the weapon that slew them. Yeah, lots of possibilities there. Yes, Borman has made some bonkers films, it has to be said. But I think I will check out that Tiger's Tail, because I do like a good doppelganger story. And Borman's Lord of the Rings, I wasn't aware that there was a script online that could be read. But yeah, interesting stuff. Thanks, Jason.
Hey, Spencer. Just got listening to the Excalibur movie night episode, and that was fantastic. Such great call-ins and commentary. I think you should win an award if there are any awards for podcasting. I don't know. There might be. So if there are, I would nominate you. So let me know what academy I have to join in order to nominate you for the podcast. It was really good. And I really did. I loved, especially a lot of good things. The couch guys were on their game. Joe Richter, he reminded me that, I need to start working on my Song of Roland or a Tale of Roland Pendragon hack for a tale set in the Dark Tower verse. Man, I mean, all you got to do is switch swords to guns and you got the Dark Tower, and you could use the Pendragon rules. The passions definitely there. All the morality trackers that are there for all the different traits. Oh man, it'd be great. I really got to work on that. Just don't take my idea, peoples. I don't care if you do. That'd be great. Then I don't have to do it. Ha. So too many ums, man. I'm stuck in traffic. That's the issue. So the other research I need to do, I need to see how magic swords and the like are treated in Pendragon. I guess it depends on the iteration. I know that in the first Pendragon I started with, I think was the third edition, magic was kind of vague. They really didn't have a magic kind of caster type. And then they added that in the next iteration. And I honestly haven't perused 5.6 enough. Well, 6 just a starter set out to see if that or what they do with magic, or if they have magic using characters. So like initially in the first incarnations of Pendragon, magic was obscure and vague and players weren't magic users. Later they added like a magic using class, a la a Merlin's Apprentice or Lady of the Lake, or you know, Morgan Le Fay's people, whatever. So So yeah, and then they sort of codified it, which I don't know if that was a great idea. In any case, I will have to do my research. I'll get back to you.
Take exit 171 for Texas 218 toward Pat Booker Road, Universal City.
And now I sound like Jason Hobbs.
Thank you, Carl. Carl Rodriguez there of the Geomologist presents. And well, I don't know if I should be in line for an award or anything. I appreciate the sentiment, but the quality of that episode, as I said, I can't take credit for that. All thanks to the awesome quality of the calls I received. Everybody was on form, and it was a pleasure to put that episode together. So thank you for contributing to the awesomeness. As for your proposed hack for Stephen King's The Dark Tower series, I know there was We Deal in Lead, and I think that went some way to fill in that gap. But as I recall, some folks were a little on the fence about how the actual gunslinging element of that was handled. So, yeah, I think there's certainly room for a gunslinger Pendragon hack. You should definitely continue working on that. People would be very happy to play such a game. And yeah, particularly enjoyed the Jason Hobbs impression at the end there. Thanks again for your very kind words, Carl.
By the way, if you have time to add this to your Excalibur follow-on episode, I don't know if you probably know this. I don't know if everybody else knows this. Zack Snyder is a huge fan of Excalibur. I think it's his favorite movie. So that's why in Batman v Superman, The Dawn of Justice, we see the Waynes leaving Excalibur instead of Zorro. And when Superman, spoilers for that movie, when Superman is fighting with Doomsday, and he's a, you have him impaled, and he goes forward and stabs Doomsday with a spear, with a kryptonite spear, that is supposed to mimic, King Arthur and his son there at the end. So, just thought I would share that.
Thank you, Jason. I will share that for the Zack Snyder fans out there. Sadly, I can't say I'm one of them. As far as I'm concerned, he peaked with his first movie, The Dawn of the Dead remake, and he's been gradually going downhill since then. He takes grim and gritty, and he makes it dull and dismal, as far as I'm concerned. But I may be in a minority there. Having said that, I haven't really seen a lot of his output, I think. But there you go. You can't please everyone. I'll just leave you with a wee reminder of this month's movie night. Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal from 1982. Now, with this one, I am more than happy to hear folks' thoughts on the 2019 Netflix prequel series, Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance, which does add quite a lot to this curious fantasy world. That episode will air on Monday, the 29th of April, so the official entry cut-off date is the 26th. For a guaranteed slot in the show, I will endeavour to accommodate late entries. As always, send your entries to either spencer.freeforall@gmail.com or via Discord, as detailed in the show notes, and I very much look forward to hearing from you.